VFR into IMC appears to have won again. Don't land an A320 with a parking brake set. And the One World Alliance gains a Russian partner. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, September 27th, 2010. Preliminary information released by the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board regarding a fatal accident in Montana last month indicates that the pilot of a Cessna 182 was operating in weather conditions for which he was not rated. He was the only person on board. The pilot, who was not instrument rated, planned to fly from Ogden, Utah to Bozeman, Montana. Bozeman was reporting IFR. Witnesses reported low clouds and rain falling when they saw the plane hit the ground at the top of a hill about 8.3 miles south-southwest of Bozeman at about 4,900 feet MSL. An NTSB investigator's examination of the accident site and wreckage revealed the airplane hit an open field while in a near-vertical nose-down attitude. An official report of probable cause is about a year away. The NTSB has issued a preliminary report on the August 26th incident in which a JetBlue A320 was evacuated using the emergency chutes after four main gear tires blew during a landing at Sacramento, California. Seven of the 86 passengers suffered minor injuries in the evacuation. The board says damage was limited to four tires and their associated wheel rims, but the tires showed evidence of locked wheels. The flight data recorder confirmed the plane's parking brake had become engaged at about 5,000 feet during approach and remained on during the landing. NTSB says that during interviews with the flight crew, neither pilot recalled any abnormal indications or warnings associated with the braking system. S7 Airlines, a Russian domestic carrier, says it will become part of the One World Alliance effective November 15th. One World is heralding the addition as evidence of a breakthrough year for the group. Existing One World partners include American Airlines, British Airways, Cathay Pacific, Finnair, Iberia, Japan Airlines, Lanchile, Maldives Hungarian Airlines, Mexicana, Qantas, Royal Jordanian, and almost 20 of their affiliates. Members of established One World Airlines frequent flyer programs can now earn and redeem awards and tier status points when flying on S7. The FAA has proposed a $4.8 million fine against Evergreen International Airlines of McMinnville, Oregon, for allegedly using pilots who had not been trained in accordance with an FAA-approved training program on 232 revenue flights. The flights were made in the first half of 2009 on aircraft equipped with a new flight management system that was different enough from the prior system that it required a specific training program. The FAA alleges Evergreen did not complete its approved training for the pilots before assigning them to fly revenue trips using the new FMS. The FAA alleges Evergreen line pilots received ground training and a check ride on the new FMS, but that the company did not provide required familiarization flights supervised by the company's check pilots. Evergreen has 30 days to respond. Up next on ANN, consensus grows for an ISS extension. Ball Aerospace will build an Earth observation satellite for NASA. And iChart comes to the iPad. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 27th. I'm Paul Plack. There appears to be growing support for an extension of the operation of the International Space Station. The space agencies, which partnered to operate the station, met last week in a video conference to discuss continuation of operations into the next decade and the station's use as a research lab. Representatives from the U.S., Canada, Europe, Russia, and Japan make up the Multilateral Coordination Board. In last week's meeting, they heard that Japan's government has joined Russia's in approving continuing space station operations beyond 2016. The governments of Canada and Europe have not reached a consensus, and NASA reports it's working with the U.S. Congress to get the necessary funding. On behalf of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NASA has awarded a sole-source contract for the JPSS-1, the Joint Polar Satellite System spacecraft, to Ball Aerospace and Technologies Corporation in Boulder, Colorado. This is a fixed-price contract worth $248 million with a performance period through February 1st of 2015. JPSS is the restructured civilian portion of the National Polar Orbiting Operational Environmental Satellite System that will make afternoon observations as it orbits the Earth. NOAA is responsible for the program. Data and imagery collected will increase the timeliness, accuracy, and cost-effectiveness of public warnings and forecasts of climate and weather events, reducing potential loss of human life and property. Flight Prep has introduced iChart for the iPad. The application allows pilots to turn their Apple iPads into electronic flight bags, giving them access to sectionals, terminal area charts, low en routes, and approach plates. iChart places airport information, nav charts, approach plates, airport diagrams, and more to increase situational awareness without increasing the pilot's workload. iChart is priced within range of any pilot. It's a free download in the Apple iTunes App Store and comes with a 30-day trial subscription. An annual subscription of $50 per year is required afterwards to keep updated. Current full U.S. CONUS, VFR, and IFR subscribers can use their existing subscriptions with the iChart application at no additional charge. Still ahead, the Wright brothers have had their graves vandalized. The Reno Air Races are coming to IMAX 3D. And you may be right to wonder what politicians have been smoking. You're listening to Aero News.
Piper Jet.
Piper Sport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, September 27th. I'm Paul Platt. 62 graves at the Woodland Cemetery near Dayton, Ohio were vandalized recently, including the graves of the Wright brothers. Some grave markers had been knocked over, others broken. The Dayton Daily News reports that an American flag and an aviation flag were taken from the Wright brothers' site, and the flagpole was broken. Local police say such vandalism is not uncommon at cemeteries. The paper reports the cemetery was established in 1841. Several well-known people are buried there, including Governor James Cox, humorist Irma Bombeck, and poet Paul Laurence Dunbar. If you've ever wondered what it might be like to compete in the Reno Air Races, this may be the closest thing to getting into the cockpit. 3D Entertainment Film says it'll be producing Air Racers 3D, Forces of Flight, alongside the film's original partners, Pretend Entertainment and Stereoscope. Under this new joint venture, Jean-Jacques Montello, whose previous projects include three films for Jean-Michel Cousteau, will be the director. Air Racers 3D, Forces of Flight will chronicle the preparation for and competition in the world's fastest motorsport, celebrate the history of flight, and explore the science of today's air racing technology, human physiology, neurology, and the underlying physics. Post-production is expected to start late this year in Los Angeles and in Europe for a future release in IMAX 3D theaters. And finally today, I'm a little sunburned and a lot tired after spending the weekend at a gyroplane meet on the El Mirage Dry Lake. I had a great time, but whenever I go, there are little signs everywhere that California is different from back home. Here's another one. A candidate for the Santa Monica City Council says he favors closing the city's airport and using the land for commercial marijuana production. In a Meet the Candidates interview with the Santa Monica Daily Press, John Lewis Mann said he was the first to suggest that the airport be closed in 2015. It faces FAA grant assurance responsibilities till sometime in 2023. Mann, who lists flight attendant as his occupation with the Santa Monica Elections Office, says growing marijuana on the property would bring more revenue to the city than the airport currently does. This is Mann's 10th attempt to get elected to city council. Fortunately for friends of the Santa Monica Airport, when it comes time for the public hearings, most of the advocates of Mann's plan are expected to forget the dates and times and miss the meetings. And those who do show up are likely to leave early in search of snacks. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves offers a couple of examples of what he sees as an improving attitude at the FAA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.